Kenneth, you didn't get dressed this morning. That's what my father-in-law, Charlie, said to me, because I didn't have a pencil in my ear. To my father-in-law, when we were working on our house, you weren't dressed until you had a hammer, a tape measure, and a pencil. Then you were dressed. You don't want to go around half naked. You need to be fully prepared. One thing that Sandy often asked me in the morning, she asked me this question, is this a normal day for you? And I can look at my calendar and I can say, oh, no, on this day I got this on my calendar, but I can try and answer, yes, this is a normal day. But you laughed when I mentioned that question because you know what life is like. You think it's going to be a normal day. And it's not. And so what do you have to do? You have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. Have you ever been caught unprepared? Like, you show up in class. There's a test today. Your teacher says, take out a piece of paper, number it 1 to 10. Oh, man. You hate that? Or somebody comes over and you're like, oh, no. That was one advantage we had when we lived out by New Paris. We lived up a long lane. And the shout would go out, Grandma's coming up the lane. Grandma's coming up the lane. So we had time before Grandma got all the way up the lane to, you know, hide stuff and throw stuff in a closet. And because she caught us unprepared. How can we be always prepared? Wouldn't you like to have a way where you could always be prepared? That's what we're looking at this morning. Join me in taking a look at Ephesians 6:15. For shoes, Paul writes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be what? Fully prepared. Fully prepared. And so he talks about two things in there. He talks about good news and shoes. Now, how do good news and shoes go together? So let's do some background, and then we'll come at this from behind. Here's the background. About 2,000 years earlier, there was this guy named Joseph, and he was the number two ruler in all of Egypt. And he had brought his whole family to Egypt because there was a famine where they're living. So he brought them to Egypt. And after a while, a Pharaoh took command who didn't realize that Joseph had basically saved Egypt. God used Joseph to save Egypt. Well, he didn't know that. And the Jewish people were very populous. And so they were taking, you know, there was quite a few of them. So he made them slaves. And so the Jews were slaves in Egypt. And God, after about 400 years that they were slaves, God took them out of Egypt. There were plagues, and he took them out, and they wandered in the desert for 40 years, 40 years of wandering, 40 years of training, and then they go into the promised land. And once they get into the promised land, everything was wonderful and beautiful and harmonious. Right? Not so much. No, read the book of Judges. Oh, it was terrible. There was this cycle of there would be peace and prosperity, and then the people would start to sin, and because the people would sin, they were oppressed, and because they were oppressed, they would repent, and then because they would repent, God would forgive them and heal them, and then there was peace, and then they would sin. And it just kept going round and round and round and round. And then they got kings. Oh, and you think once they get kings, it's going to be better. But they had bad kings, some of them. And it just gradually went down. And it was in this time frame where God was saying to his people, hey, listen, if you guys don't straighten out and repent, I'm going to bring another country in, just like you conquered the people that used to live here because they sinned. I'm going to bring another country in to conquer you because you're sinning. It's in this time frame that this passage we're going to look at was written, because by sinning over and over again, the Jews were putting themselves where? Back into slavery. So, Isaiah 52, verse 4. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. Long ago, my people chose to live in Egypt. Now they are oppressed by Assyria. What is this? Asked the Lord. Why are my people enslaved again? Those who rule them shout in exultation. My name is blasphemed all day long. Doesn't this sound like our culture today? People are enslaved by their sin. Check. God's name is not respected. Check. That's our culture today. So what does God do? Goes on. But I will reveal my name to my people, and they will come to know its power. Then at last they will recognize that what? I am. Remember last week we took a look at God's name? God called himself I am. And that's God's name. God, then at last they will recognize that I am the one who speaks to them. So how does God speak to them? How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the messengers who bring what? Good news. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. The news that God of Israel reigns. That God is in control. You see, God speaks through people who bring good news. God speaks through people who bring good news. Their message is this: you don't have to be slaves again. There are people that are slaves to alcohol. There are people that are slaves to pornography. There are people that are slaves to workaholism. There are people that are slaved to so many different things. There are people that are slaves to this. Right? They take like 27 selfies to find one. And I've seen people, various places, trying to take their picture, you know, and change their expressions. And it's like, oh, oh, my heart breaks. It's like, work on the inside. But we live in a culture with people that are enslaved to all kinds of things. And God says, I have good news. He reigns. And so, what does God do? God sends people with good news. And so at that time, this may seem strange, at that time, you didn't pick up a phone. You couldn't call somebody on a rotary phone. You would give someone a piece of paper, and they would take that piece of paper and they would run to the next town with that piece of paper. And that's how communication. And so it was sent by messengers on what? Foot. And so people on their feet would bring good news. And so that's why Paul, you know, talks about good news were brought by people carrying that. So we're taking a look at good news. People with good feet, beautiful feet. What we're gonna do is at the end we're gonna take pictures of all our feet, and we're gonna, how beautiful, right? Are our feet when we bring good news? We're not gonna do that. I'm just kidding. But people with beautiful feet bring good news, because it's like, oh, there are people enslaved and then they're set free. Isn't that good news? So, how do you do that? I mean, wouldn't that be, that's good, right? Well, how do you actually bring good news to people? Here's how. We're going to learn from a runner with good news. The guy's name is Philip, and the story is in Acts chapter 8. He's going to walk us through the process of bringing good news. Verse 26, as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now, I don't know if you know this, but that was the wrong direction. All the cool stuff was happening in the opposite direction. Philip went. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Have you heard of Isaiah? Does that ring a bell? The Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. So what can we learn from that? Hear God's leading. Hear God's leading. God is speaking. How does God speak to us? Often, God speaks to us through His Word. God speaks to us when we pray. And you have to train yourself to hear His voice. Why? Because we have trained ourselves not to hear His voice. Because God tells us to do things, and quite frankly, we don't want to do them. Right? God speaks to us, and we go, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. And you do that long enough, and you can't hear God. Not because He isn't speaking, because you have trained yourself not to hear what He's saying. Let me explain that, how dangerous that is. This is a picture from 12 years ago. I'm in the number 11 car. I don't know if you can see my thumb sticking out the window. I drove that car on the Chicagoland racetrack at 146.94 miles an hour. So cool. I was scared the whole time. But here's what they did. I went through a couple hour training. They put earbuds in my ear, and they put tape over those before they put there's this cloth they put on before they put the helmet on. And they taped those things in my ears. And every time they talked to me, I had a spotter up in the stands, and he would tell me what to do. And immediately when he spoke to me, I would have to talk back. I'd have to say something. And they say, okay, take it up to this many RPM. And I'd say, okay. I have to push the button on my steering wheel and say, okay. And they would tell me something else. I go, okay. Here's why. If I don't respond, they assume that my radio is broken, and they turn off my car remotely, and my ride's over. Well, I didn't want that. So you have to talk back. You have to let them know, because there were four cars like mine out there, and we were going at the most 150 miles an hour. And then there were two other cars driven by professional drivers with passengers in it. They were going 165 miles an hour. Now, 165 is faster than 150. And they will eventually pass you. And when they get close to you, they want to tell you, all right, move down to the inside or move up this way. They have to be able to communicate. If they can't communicate with you, they turn off the power. Let me say that again. If they can't communicate with you, they will turn off the power. If God can't communicate with you, what does He do? He turns off the power. You're saying, well, there's no power in my life. It's because you're not listening. Listen. Listen, when God says something, click your button and say, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. In fact, you can beat God to the punch and you can just say, God, the answer is yes. Now, what's the question? You want to hear from God? Do that. Do that, and you'll hear from God. God, what do you want to do in my life? The answer is yes. And then you'll hear God speaking to you. Say, hey, take food to your neighbor. You mean the one with the loud kids and the dog that barks? Yeah. Yeah, take food to that neighbor. Or call a friend. Or mow a neighbor's yard. Or shovel a neighbor's driveway. Listen to God and do what he says. That's the H. Hear God's leading. And it goes on, verse 30 of Acts chapter 8. Philip ran over. He didn't hesitate. I told you he was a runner. Philip ran over. It was immediate obedience. He ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip asked, do you understand what you were reading? So engage them in a conversation. Engage them in a conversation. You can do that by asking them a question about anything. Compliment them about something you notice. Here is a great one. Ask them about their tattoos. Because, seriously, here's the thing. Like, my daughter has a tattoo right here that says grace. And if somebody would ask her about her tattoo, about grace, what would she tell you about? She would tell you about Diane. That's why she got that tattoo. And it's a reminder of her. The things that mean are deep to them, they put here. I was waiting for a drink at a Starbucks, and I saw a lady, and she had the tattoo of a woman's face right here. Beautiful tattoo. And I was like, wow. I said, that is a beautiful tattoo. And she said, that's my mother. She died, I think it was like 2 or 3 years ago. And I wanted to remember my mom. I don't know this lady's name, and already she's telling me some deep things about her life. Why? I ask her a simple question about a tattoo. And so you can engage people in a conversation about anything. A couple of weeks ago, we were at a park in Goshen with my son and his wife and our granddaughter. They were playing in the park. And there was another guy there that had two daughters, and we started talking to him. I don't remember his name. Let's call him Brent. And, you know, and so we were talking about them, and we got quite a conversation going. And, you know, just talking about kids. Or you can meet a need that they have. When my daughter was living in Egypt, on my second flight there, I was flying by myself. One of my pens exploded in my pocket in the middle of the longest flight. And I had ink all over my hands. And there was nothing there for me to clean my hands with. And there was an Egyptian lady sitting next to me. And she said she saw my predicament and she got out her perfume. And she sprayed that, just in case you want to know, that perfume worked. She sprayed perfume, and I smelled good when I got there. She sprayed it all over my hands, and she had a Kleenex and wiped it off. But what happened? We started talking. And she said, you know, I've always wanted to go to America, but I'm afraid because I see America on the news. And I said, oh, I understand that, because I've seen Egypt on the news, and I was afraid to go to Egypt. But this is my second time there. I'm not afraid now. I said, you should come to America. And we had a great conversation, and she gave me her card. And she said, if you're ever in Alexandria, look me up. And we formed that that beginning of a relationship because she met a need. Engage them in a conversation. There's all kinds of ways to do that. It goes on in verse 31. The man replied, "How can I?" He had just asked him a question. "Do you understand what you're reading?" He says, "How can I unless somebody instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before his shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who could speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" Here's the next thing. Listen to them. Listen to them. We are more connected than we have ever been. In the history of life on this planet, I can take my phone out and message people on the other side of the globe. Just like that. But we're lonelier. Why? We don't listen to each other. We need to listen to be really connected. There was a lady in line at the post office, and she was waiting to buy stamps, and she was talking to another person in line, and she said, "Oh, you just want to buy stamps? You can get it at that machine over there." And she said, "Yes, I know, but the machine won't ask me about my arthritis." We need that human connection. That's what we need to do. Why do you think we have coffee time a half an hour, 45 minutes before the service? So we can connect and fellowship, so we can talk to each other, so we can listen. We can get to know each other. That's what that's for. So, back to the park with my granddaughter a couple of weeks ago. I was talking to Brent, you know, off and on as the kids were playing there, and he mentioned something about his job, and so I asked him about his job, and he's a truck driver, and he was started talking about an issue that he's having at work, and I listened, and he talked about this issue. And I empathized and listened. And it's amazing how much people will share when you just listen to them, how much they open up with their problems. And that's why I think God gave us one of these, one mouth and two ears. In fact, James 1:19, what does that say? We should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Oh, are you like me? Because I get that mixed up. I, by nature, tend to be quick to speak and slow to listen. But God's Word says we need to do that. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. And that's what Philip did. And so, verse 35. What did Philip do? So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. What did he do? Point them to Jesus. Hear God's leading, engage them in a conversation, listen to them, and point them to Jesus. He's the solution. He meets the deepest need of the human heart. And when we were at the park with that guy we call Brent, and we were talking and we were getting ready to go, and he said, "See you later, see ya." I just said, kind of over my shoulder, "The Lord bless you." And he said, "And you too." He goes, "Yeah, I'm looking for a church." So I just walked away. No, I didn't do that. I said, "You are." And so My brother, it was up in Goshen, my brother goes to a church in Goshen, and I said, "Here's a church." And I found it on my phone, and I showed him where it was and what time the service was. And he said he was going to go there on Sunday. Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know what's going to happen, if he's going to actually show up. That's not my responsibility, is it? I gave him, I pointed him in that direction. And it's not always pointing to the church. Point them to Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. That's what we're here to do, is to point people to Jesus. And it wasn't anything forced. It was just a natural conversation. So what happened with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch? Verse 36, as they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, hey, look, there's water. Why can't I be baptized? He ordered the carriage to stop, and he went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Here's what happens. God multiplies your obedience. God multiplies your obedience. Let me show you how God did that. So look at the very top of that map. See that orange little triangle thing up at their top? That's Israel, okay? Israel, got it? That's where that happened, up there. Next slide. That's Ethiopia. Well, that eunuch had great authority in Ethiopia. And he went back to Ethiopia and shared the good news. Today, Ethiopia is 67.3% Christian. Due in great part to one guy going there a long time ago. And it keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving. You want a great return on your investment? Share the good news. Share the good news, because it keeps on giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. Do you want to make a difference that lasts forever? Share the good news. Help people hear God's leading. Engage them in a conversation. Listen to them and point them to Jesus. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. We read this morning. The rain and snow came down from the heavens to stay on the ground to water the earth. They caused the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. I send it out, and it usually produces fruit. 47% time it produces. No, it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. When you're sharing the good news with people, share God's word. Your opinion doesn't change people's life. I'm sorry to break it to you. Your opinion, my opinion, is not that powerful. But you share God's word with people, and it will change their life and keep changing their life over and over and over again. You do your part, and then God will do his part. There was a pastor who was a lot like Philip. And God asked him to do something way outside of his comfort zone. He lived a ways away from New York City, and he heard about this trial happening in New York. And there were these gang leaders that were on trial, and God laid it on his heart to get them some Bibles, because God's word does not return void. And so he had some Bibles, and he wanted to give those Bibles to those gang members. And he didn't know how to do it. So he went to the trial. And as they were recessing the trial, this pastor jumped up and yelled, "Hey, Judge, I want to give these Bibles, Judge!" And he had all these Bibles in his hand, and he's trying to give them to the gang leaders, and it was like, whoa, 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 and they shut him down, and he never did give those Bibles to those gang members. Complete failure, sort of. You know what they did do, though? That was the biggest thing that happened in that trial. And they took a picture of that crazy pastor trying to give Bibles to the gang members. And they put it on the front page of the newspaper. And that pastor would walk around the streets of New York, and the gang members would go, hey, you're that pastor, you're that guy. And he started having conversations with gang members. And he had this big meeting where they preached the good news. He shared the good news with these gang members, and a lot of them got saved. That guy's name, I don't know if you've ever heard of him. His name is Davey Wilkerson. He tells this story in his book, The Cross and the Switchblade. Nicky Cruz wrote, one of the gang members wrote the book, Run, Baby, Run. Davey Wilkerson started an organization called Teen Challenge. They were here a year or two ago. Remember? All those guys singing? Thousands and thousands of lives have been changed because this pastor went to New York and did something crazy like trying to hand Bibles to gang members. And God continues to change lives today because of one man's obedience. So we've got some, Scott has some help cards, and we're going to pass these out. And here's what you do with your help cards. There's several things. You can put it in your pocket or put it in your purse. We'll talk more about that when you have yours. But let's go back to where we started. Ephesians 6:15. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that it'll be fully prepared. Fully prepared. You know where that term comes from? If a king was coming to the area, they would say, like, he's going to come down this road. Somebody would go before them and fill in the rough spots and fill in the potholes so that it'd be smooth for the king. Pave the way for the king, fully prepared. And that's what we do. When we share the good news, we're paving the way for the King of Kings to come in and change a life. That's what we're doing when we share the good news. So here's a help card that's been in my pocket for a little bit. And this is a reminder. So you remember, if you have this situation, hear God's leading. God, what are you telling me to do? Engage the person in a conversation. Listen to the person and then point them to Jesus. And then on the back, you write their name. Like I'd write Brent on there. And then every day, every time I see this card, I say, Brent, oh, God, continue to work in Brent's life. You may never see Brent again. You may never see that person again. Pray for him every day. And you pray for him, and you pray for him, and you pray for him. And you add to that list, and you just keep praying for people. Keep having conversations. Keep listening to people and see what God does in and through their lives. Would you stand with me? This morning, what I'm asking you to do is to commit to listening to God. To say to God, God, if you ask me to engage somebody in a conversation, I will do it. It's that simple. Just say, God, I'm willing to do that. Let's pray right now. You tell the Lord that right now, that you're willing to do that. You're committed to doing that. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the guarantee that your word does not return void, that your word produces wherever you send it, it produces fruit. And so, Father, use us to change the lives of people that we come in contact with, to make a difference here and all over the world, simply because we obey you. The way Philip did, the way Davy Wilkerson did, the way we can all do to make a difference. Father, you have us here for a reason. Use us. Work in us and then work through us. Thank you for what you're going to do. We have no idea. But we can't wait. We can't wait to see what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.